we're getting these study abroad groups, they're coming in and they're doing citizen science in our tank and then out into the field. And I get a lot of enjoyment about that. I think it's largely to do with it's a two-way learning experience. Many of these tertiary students that are visiting us are postgraduates. They're in professions similar to ours over there in the US. So there's a lot of interchange of information and ideas. It's tremendously rewarding to work with these people over an extended period of time, not just a 90-minute program or a 60-minute program, but multiple days, really get to know them.
And it's not just tertiary students are getting to have a lot of fun. We're talking a whole bunch of people from preschool through to retirees checking out tropical North Queensland right in the heart of it at Reef HQ in Townsville. Let's find out what it's all about.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.
And now,
here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. This week we are speaking with Craig McGrogan. He is the Senior Education Officer at Reef HQ Aquarium, which is a national education centre for the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority. Beautiful spot. We're talking right on Townsville's harbour, where you get to go out to the reef cast, go check out the reef itself, and there's this living, breathing aquarium with lots of educational stuff going on. And tell you what, there's lots of talks and tours being offered to the public as well. Look, Reef HQ has been doing so much stuff over many, many years in regards to doing tailored educational programs, and we're talking from schools from the very, very young kids all the way through to university level. And look, as part of the aquarium's digital outreach education, Craig, who we get to hear from very soon, he gets to go diving underwater and present the Reef video conferencing program to schools globally. It's so cool. As you can hear, Reef HQ really knows what they're talking about when it comes to reef systems and beyond. And as such, they're a member of the Townsville North Queensland Edutourism Consortium. And you get to hear about that and so much more in this interview. So without further ado, let's listen on to Craig. He's got a lot to offer. Craig McGrogan, thank you for dropping on the Physics Ed Podcast.
Oh, look, pleasure to be here, Ben, and a wonderful opportunity to share with everyone that may be listening what we do here at Reef HQ Aquarium.
I was so excited that you said you're able to get involved with this, because look, we've been running into you for a couple of years now through Virtual Excursions Australia and through the CILC in America. So those people don't know about that, the Centre for Interactive Learning and Collaboration. Up in Townsville with Reef HQ, you're not just an aquarium, you do way more than that.
Yeah, that's quite true. We're in the heart of tropical North Queensland, as we like to say, in Townsville. We're right in the middle of where the Great Barrier Reef is, so ideally suited to have our public aquarium. However, we're more than just a public aquarium. We're the National Education Centre for the Great Barrier Reef. We are part of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, and that's the Australian agency responsible for the sustainable use and management of activities within that Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. So yes, quite a bit more than just an aquarium, but we are an education facility and many strings to our bow as well.
And that's exactly why I said it that way, because I knew full well that it's not just an aquarium, but I imagine that public visitors may actually think that when they first arrive. But gee, no, you really have a lot of stuff going on. And to be honest, I don't want to just talk about Reef HQ itself, because obviously that's, you know, your passion, your drive, you've been involved with many years. I'm always curious, very much curious, about why marine biology, why science, why did you get into this thing instead of something else? I'm always curious to find out how people fall into these sort of roles.
Yeah, look, I had a very fortunate and interesting upbringing, and I was born in the Bahamas of all places. So there was little choice but to get exposed to the marine environment at a very young age. My family then moved out to New Zealand, and I grew up and my schooling was largely in New Zealand and lived very close to the coast. And again, very fortunately, had a couple of family holidays to the Pacific Islands, most notably the Cook Islands and Fiji. And that just opened my eyes to the amazing underwater environment that we find in our tropics. So with that experience being very formative, I started my university doing zoology, then marine science. I then got the interest to travel, and I went overseas and I did a little bit more zoology in the UK and actually worked in Ireland on a little marine station off the southern coast of Cork, Shirkin Island Marine Station. Lovely diving over there, but quite cool, Ben. So I had to think about coming back to the tropics. I came back down under.
Were you dealing with dry suits there?
No. They're very tough to get into, semi-dry suits. So it was not the most, shall we say, easy diving I've done, but really quite spectacular. And it might be of interest for some of those people that are divers that the waters around the UK and Ireland, although they're chilly, they've got some fantastic marine life, really colourful marine life too. Oh, so yeah, happy times there.
Absolutely. And full disclosure here, I mean, I'm actually kind of fanboying a little bit here because I actually am a diver. I do dive down to 30 meters and, you know, try not to go below that because then you're being naughty. But the we've done a lot of that. And I totally agree that cold and temperate waters, 100%, they do have a lot of stuff because, you know, basic physics is that you're going to have more dissolved oxygen. When there's more dissolved oxygen, there's more life. And there's just a lot of interesting stuff around there. I'd love to go for a dive around the UK. Hey, another bucket list. You just added the two there. just a little bit.
That's good to know. But I must say, the diving's a bit easier here in the tropics. I mean, you're just in a 3 mil suit year round. And for me, that's just to keep the sun off you more than anything else and keep those stingers away that we get here in the tropics too. But yes, since coming to Townsville, it really is the heart of the Great Barrier Reef as far as research and education goes. We've got the James Cook University, which is world-renowned in marine science. We've got the Institute of Marine Science, not too far south from us. And we have the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority. So I thought it was a good place to start. And I've been involved with the aquarium now since about 2002, very casually, and then more and more into the education and interpretation programs.
And that's where this, obviously, we now step into exactly, excuse me while I just cough in everyone's ear, but that's exactly where we got into this because I'm very much interested about all the different type of education outreach and visitation that you have. I mean, if you had to describe, and I suppose this is exactly what you're doing now, if you had to describe the sorts of activities that happen within Reef HQ and beyond, from an education perspective, what are the sort of things that happen?
Yeah, you're quite right. Yeah, daily visitation, independent travellers that are passing through Townsville and coming into the aquarium, that's a big chunk. That's tens of thousands. So about 140,000, 150,000 visitors a year. And we have our public program, as we call it, and that's an interpretive program based around the living exhibits and the public galleries. We can give people an insight into aspects of the Great Barrier Reef through our living display. So our program today will have 10 different talks or tours or presentations, feeding presentations, dive shows, turtle hospital visits, very popular, all to give people an insight into the Great Barrier Reef and indeed its conservation. And that was really the focus of why Reef HQ was conceived back in 1987. It first opened as an educational opportunity for anybody, regardless of age or mobility, to appreciate the wonderful Great Barrier Reef.
And it's
so daily visitation. Yeah, that's a big part of our day, Ben. School groups, organised school groups. I mean, we get many thousands of children coming through all different ages and stages of learning, from the pre-preps or foundation levels right through your primary and secondary school levels. And we've got education programs tailored or aligned with the Australian Science Curriculum to meet their unit or curriculum requirements.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's,
I mean, you've got people coming to your place and doing things, but I'm sitting here, I can see you. You're sitting with a big green screen behind you. And I know for a fact that you also do some stuff in the aquarium itself with full face mask and happen to be a microphone in front of you. Let's discuss about that because that's a bit unique because some people may not realize that you don't have to go to Townsville to experience what you get up to.
Yeah, very good point. And we'd love to get that out there more and more. So we do have our digital education program, our digital outreach program, our video conferencing program. And You know, it might surprise some, but this has been ongoing since the early 2000s, if not even earlier than that, Ben. Before I was even part of the aquarium, they've been doing underwater presentations where the diver is hardwired with an audio and video cable into our video conferencing system, so they can take people underwater up close to the marine life and give them a really dynamic presentation. You never know quite what's going to happen underwater in terms of that wonderful marine life. So we can get up close and personal with the marine life, and we can give people the opportunity to chat directly with the diver. So it's a very interactive opportunity there. It's the most enjoyable part of my job. If I have to pick one, it's certainly getting underwater, getting up close to that marine life is fantastic, as you know, but being able to share it in real time with people all over the globe. Just this week, we were speaking with a school in Nebraska in the US, two back-to-back video conferences, got some wonderful feedback today where the kids just couldn't stop talking about it the next day. And that's just so heartwarming and rewarding for us to hear that we have that impact. So, yeah, delightful, that program. Now, if you'll permit me to carry on.
Go ahead.
We have our Turtle Hospital, and that has been recently enabled with video conferencing capabilities. And we're having a chat over a particular video conferencing program, and what a boon that is. The Zoom video conferencing platform has just opened up the opportunities for so many more schools. They don't need that dedicated video conferencing technology as was once the case. Anybody with a good internet connection and a laptop or a smart device can connect to us in our Turtle Hospital. So we can give people a up close and a real-time experience of the patients we have in at any one time, and how we care for them, and the sort of things we can do to mitigate those threats, which or those human impacts that they're facing these days. And then, you know, going back to our school group visits, we can tailor any one of our other education programs depending on what your interest is, the year group in question, whether it's reefs at risk or adaptations for survival. We could sit here and have a very interactive presentation with the benefit of content sharing or that lovely big green screen you pointed out before. We can share a lot of content and engage with the students. We like to make all our presentations super interactive, as I know you realise is really important too.
Very much. And that actually brings up the point. I mean, kids are going to always have their questions about how the world works and all the rest. So what are the sort of common things that, without a doubt, you could almost predict that this is what they're going to ask about? And I guess at the same point, what on the other side, have you ever had some questions where, wow, I didn't expect that? Like, I'd love to know what the kids often are thinking when they can't.
Yeah. Yeah, look, lots of wonderful questions. I guess one of the more common ones we get is, have you ever been bitten by a shark? And the answer is yes, but then I disappoint them by saying it was a really small, tiny baby leopard shark. So it wasn't the dramatic, gory experience they might be hoping for. But you get all the full spectrum of questions and queries. One of the best ones I had, and it sounds a little bit cheeky to start with, one boy asked me about, have you ever peed in your wetsuit? And he was reprimanded very quickly by his teacher. But I said, no, that's a really good point, because here in the aquarium, our water quality, as it is on the Great Barrier Reef, is of paramount importance to the corals. The corals are the fussy animals. They need good, clean water quality. In fact, the stocking density of the animals we have in the tank is designed not to overstretch the nutrient buildup or put too much strain on that living system. So peeing them in my wetsuit would be counterproductive as far as that goes. So we were able to sort of turn the question around and make a bit of a point as to what those corals really need is clean, clear water that's low in nutrients. So yeah, I guess that's one of the more memorable questions I've been asked.
I tell you what, that actually reminds me, like when we run a human body workshop, inevitably there's be questions about passing of waste. that. And, and I suppose it's how you frame it. And to be honest, hitting it directly, going, actually, this is a pertinent question, because sometimes people will do exactly what you suggested with the teacher saying, oh, no, you can't ask that. So hang on, we're talking about the digestive system. We're going to finish this off, which always gets a smile out of the teacher as well. But, I mean, it's part of it. And I suppose that's the nature. There'll be a number of biology teachers and biology science communicators who know very well that sometimes you get into these icky situations. Sorry for all the puns, but I'm going to do that. But it's part of it. And, I mean, I guess the reality is that the good thing about that is at least the kids can see it's visceral, it's real. You're in a wetsuit. You are in a diving environment. And, yes, something like that is going to have to come up at some point.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm not backward about taking the lead with going down those paths either. I mean, we've got our sea cucumbers, which are just great subject material. They're very, shall we say, inanimate. They're not very mobile. They're not very animated. They sit there, and there's often a big pile of poo behind them. And the kids just love it when you bring it down to that level and then start picking up the poo, but explaining what that ecological role is of the sea cucumber as a vacuum cleaner, recycling nutrients, turning over the sediment, oxygenating those initial layers of sediment. So, yeah, look, I think the kids really do engage with that sort of level of interpretation too. So we don't shy away from it at all.
Yeah, it's interesting, of course, because I know like you're in a public aquarium whilst doing this, and it's a serious establishment. We're not like talking like a little room; it's a full on place. It must draw some questions from the public going by whilst you're presenting there, because obviously you've got a camera on you. I guess you've got a dry side diver to help you out as well. I suppose that's what you'd nearly have to call them.
Yeah.
What's the public?
Yeah, well, there's and look, it's. Probably it's a marketing stream. We're not making the most of at the moment. And we could simply be making people aware of the virtual excursions that we do offer in that form and others with a little label in a prominent place that people will see the divers when they're underwater, just explaining this video conference is going to Nebraska or going to New York, wherever it might be. So yeah, there's marketing potential there. But the other thing about our aquarium, Ben, is what sets it apart from any other aquariums that you will walk into, you may find that, geez, I'd like to ask a question of somebody when you're walking around the galleries. I'd like to know a bit more about that, but you can never find the staff in an aquarium to talk to that often. Here, we take the opposite approach. We don't flood our area with volunteers, but we have a presence, a public presence of staff and volunteers in the public galleries to talk to visitors, explain what they're looking at, add a little bit more depth to their experience, and also they're an opportunity to convey to those visitors what those divers are doing and, add a little bit of interpretation there too.
It's very much the case, and you are very, very busy. In fact, so much so that during this podcast, you've got a handheld radio just with you, just in case things are going on. So I was actually wondering if we'd end up getting a call during this, just because I know that you got a lot going on. But the all right. So you've got all that stuff going on. I guess just out of curiosity, I mean, as an educator for many years at Reef HQ, I mean, if you had to drop everything this afternoon and run your favourite lesson, what would it be?
Mm. Well, mate, it's hard to pick, but I really do have a passion for diving. I get a lot out of it. It's very comfortable diving we do at the aquarium. It's only shallow water, 5 meters depth, but there's, as I say, you don't know quite what you're going to come across, whether you're going to see a big cod being cleaned by a cleaner wrasse and actually get a bit of video right through the cod's mouth and out through its gill rakers and gills. We have these occasional experiences which are just gold, absolutely fantastic. So that would be high on my list of things. But in mentioning that, I also look forward to our edutourism season, and it's a growing part of our aquarium's educational focus. So by edutourism, we're talking about tertiary groups, study abroad groups visiting us from the US predominantly at the moment, and they'll be coming down around their summertime. So maybe May, June, July onwards, We'll be hosting groups for, you know, many days at a time, taking them into the aquarium to learn a reef monitoring technique. That's learning how to monitor the health of the reef, a very simple but science-based approach to collecting relevant data that can then be fed back into the Marine Park Authority. So we take multiple groups through our 2.5 million litre coral reef exhibit. So that's the size of an Olympic pool in terms of volume. We practice this technique in the tank and then we take them out onto the reef. It's a good boat ride from where we are on this part of the Great Barrier Reef coastline, a good 2 hours to get to the mid-shelf reefs, but we'll spend a day out there surveying a couple of sites. So we can then bring that data back into the Marine Park Authority. So we're getting these study abroad groups, they're coming in and they're doing citizen science in our tank and then out into the field. And I get a lot of enjoyment about that. I think it's largely to do with it's a two-way learning experience. Many of these tertiary students that are visiting us are postgraduates. They're in professions similar to ours over there in the US. So there's a lot of interchange of information and ideas. It's tremendously rewarding to work with these people over an extended period of time, not just a 90-minute program or a 60-minute program, but multiple days, really get to know them. So if I had my favorite thing to do this afternoon, it might be, have a bit of that edutourism experience.
That's so cool. How long has that been going on?
Look, it's fairly recent in its inception, and I think Townsville's trying to identify itself quite unique to other leisure tourism destinations along the Great Barrier Reef. So we can't compete with Cairns and Port Douglas or the Whitsundays, Airlie Beach, when it comes to the proximity of the reef to us. But what we have in our local region is a tremendous variety. We've got World Heritage Area, rainforest, wetlands, our Great Barrier Reef. We've got very highly regarded academic and research institutions. And there's a consortium of operators, researchers, that work together and plan programs for these faculty-led study abroad experiential learning trips. So we can plan out, much as we can do a one-on-one lesson plan for anybody that was wanting to bring a group in or do a virtual excursion, we can plan with our colleagues in the other areas of tourism operation a 10-day package or around that time period for these people to come and enjoy Townsville and its surrounds as well as the Great Barrier Reef. So I'd say 2011 it started, so it's fairly recent addition to our educational focus, but a growing one, and it's going to be all consuming before too long, especially if we tap into the China market is going to be enormous.
So what you're saying, you have a terrible place to work and live and no one should ever come and visit at all because it's really, really bad.
Yeah, I sometimes have to pinch myself. I mean, it's like any job, there will be minor frustrations and torments, as you well know. But I wouldn't be here for the last, I guess it's 14 years now, Ben. I've been part of this aquarium in different roles, but predominantly in the interpretation and education sectors. And what might be interesting for some people to hear is I've been working with a couple of colleagues for that same length of time. So cumulatively, I like to think we've got within our education team over 40 years collectively of in-house experience. So it certainly adds up and it says a lot about the place, you know, in terms of how much enjoyment we get out of our work.
And the area is beautiful. I mean, I actually have a personal connection with Townsville because I actually lived there for several years. I left in 1988 as a little kid. And I actually remember Reef HQ being announced and opened. I was in year 4 at the time. There you go. That's given my age. But that's, and we went out onto the reef. I was in year 5 before I left. So 88, we got on one of the reef cats, went on out. I used to live in Rasmussen. the place is beautiful and exactly what you described. There are rainforests nearby. There's stunning landscapes. It's a very awesome place to get. And if you get a chance to get to Townsville, totally getting, you know, for all puns intended, it isn't an immersive experience at Reef HQ, but it is. It's a yes. Great spot. And look, you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I guess out of interest, that so if people listening in, there's a very broad listenership, and I'm well discovering all over the world, and they're all from different areas, teachers through to museum educators and whatnot, and university types. If people wanted to get involved in marine biology, in education in general, or even edutourism, as you were just talking about, what's happened since 2011. Mm. What is some advice that you'd suggest for people to, you know, consider that maybe they could learn from you?
Okay, so is this from the teacher's perspective, getting in contact with the aquarium and maybe seeing what opportunities there were in that respect, or more for younger age groups thinking of moving into marine science?
Well, certainly,
and doing studies.
Certainly we'll grab your contact details for sure, because I want everyone to know, you know, where you're from, what you do. I guess, yeah, advice to young kids, they're year 11, somewhere in the globe, who wants to get into marine biology in some way, and potentially hopefully in education in a site like yours, how would they go about what are their first steps?
Well, actually, it's one of our video conferencing programs we can offer, because here at the aquarium, we've got such a diversity of skills and backgrounds among the staff, from trades, electricians, retail, perspectives, but again, a lot of scientists, are quite highly trained academics as well, PhDs, masters, qualified staff. And what we can do is set up a bit of a chat with different staff members. If there was an interest, to contact our aquarium and have a chat with our staff about their backgrounds, how they got to be where they are, and any advice they can offer. Personally, I mean, you need to study your sciences and keep your options broad as you go through your high school, of course. And even in your university studies, is keep your options open and study broadly. And then as you get towards your final years and you will be specialising, that's when you begin to refine your focus, depending on where you want to go. My background, I wasn't big on the sciences as such when I was in high school. I was encouraged by my father to play a lot of football, so I had an active footballing upbringing. But I soon discovered the importance of the sciences when I got into my zoology studies, and then in a fourth year went into marine science. Having a mum as a teacher as well was perhaps part of my interest in teaching. So wherever I've been involved, whether it's been at a university or a research station, I've always gone off on an educational tangent. So when I was at university, I was helping out with marine science school holiday programs over in County Cork when I was in Ireland. I was helping out with their aquarium exhibition up in Cork. So I guess that was my personal preference, is not only get involved with the marine biology and all the cool animals, but also being able to share that knowledge and information with other people. I hope that gives a little bit of an insight. But if people wanted to know more about what it's like to work in an aquarium, hey, we can put you in touch with aquarists that look after the tanks, our underwater zookeepers, as we call them, and also to the education staff as well. We can get them involved. So we'd be happy to chat with people about that.
Awesome. And that's a perfect segue to how on earth do we get in touch with Reef HQ? What are your best ways to get in touch?
Oh, look, email's the best. Whenever really in the office too much like yourself, you're always running hither and thither. So what we would suggest, if you can get in contact with us at education, just education at, and then we've got a funny acronym coming up, and it stands for the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, or as we call it, GBRMPA. So once again, education at gbrmpa.gov.au. And look, we can have a chat to you about the plethora of educational opportunities we can offer. At the moment, what we have up on the website is our Reef video conferencing program, but we'll be adding also the Turtle Connections. That's our visit behind the scenes to our turtle husbandry work area. And for that matter, we're happy to negotiate teacher professional development sessions to give people a flavour of what we can offer. That's the spectrum of programs we can offer. So if that's of interest, anyone's welcome to get in contact with us as well.
Much appreciate, Craig. And what we're going to do, we'll put this down in the show notes as well, so people can go check that out. And look, well done. I mean, everything from the Turtle Hospital to eco and edutourism and more, it's fantastic. And really, you're bastions of telling everyone about climate change, ocean acidification, all that stuff. It matters. And hey, it's real. They can see it in front of them. They get to experience it. It's fantastic. Look, I really should let you go because I know you have a whole bunch of programs happening today. Like I said, we're not kidding here. You've got stuff on. But much appreciated, Craig. And look, we'll catch you another time.
Look, a real pleasure, Ben. And once again, thanks for the opportunity to share a little bit about what we do. And all the power to you, mate. Very well done with this initiative. It's a fantastic effort. And again, glad to be part of it. So thanks, mate. And we'll speak to you again soon.
All the best. Enjoy the sunshine. And there you go, that was Craig McGrogan out of Reef HQ, which is a brilliant spot right in the heart of tropical North Queensland. Get yourself up to Townsville. I know a lot of people go up to Cairns. Pop on down to Townsville if you have a chance. It's an awesome spot. And let's be honest, I'm a little bit biased because I got to live there too, but it is an awesome spot. And tell you what, the National Education Centre for the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority is Reef HQ. So these guys really know what they're talking about. And if you ever want to know more about the reef itself and its surroundings, I'm guessing that's not a bad idea to get in touch with them. They'll certainly help you out. Hey, what were your learnings that you took out of this? For me, were a couple of them. Now, there's definitely one which should shine out pretty well with my enthusiasm. Visit North Queensland. Yeah, it's a little bit humid, but that's okay. It's also tropical, which means with tropical comes palm trees and reef and beautiful aquariums and all that sort of stuff. Go check it out. I mean, the Reef HQ is a brilliant spot, and it's a holiday destination as well as a brilliant ecotourism facility. So definitely go check that out if you ever get the chance. And look, number two, if you can't check them out in person, because if you're on the other side of the planet, kind of makes it a little bit hard, why not consider connecting with them? Go call, contact Craig up and say, hey, I'd love to, connect my audience, my class, my retirement home, wherever you happen to be working. Why don't you connect them up with Craig and the team with the Education Centre at Reef HQ? They do a brilliant job, and you can connect them, directly. Just, look up reefhq.com.au. You'll be able to get in touch with them that way. Or you might find them on the Centre for Interactive Learning and Collaboration, CILC.org in the US, which does a lot of video conferencing into schools. And number three for me is, teach kids to look after the reef. I mean, there's certainly a lot of lessons you can be running here. Think about, what's the impacts of runoff into the reef? I mean, that could be runoffs from, crops or from mines or from cities. I mean, what are the impacts of those nutrient loads and all that coming onto the reef system? And maybe you can be thinking about, what's the impact of increased UV light or increased water temperatures? Reefs are very much, kind of like a barometer for the world itself. And so as such, why not teach kids about looking after the environment using the reef as an analogy? And also, you can also look at biology itself and conservation. And look, if you don't have a reef nearby, and then let's be honest, not all of us can, maybe you can be looking at the biology of your area and then discuss, the reef is a different biome that you can discuss as well.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun, free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS. And click 100 free experiments.
With all this talk about Reef HQ and going out to the reef and hearing about diving at that aquarium, I can't help myself. I think we should learn about how to make a Cartesian diver. Let's do that. This is this experiment that you can do this week, and it's so simple. And it sounds a bit fancy. Trust me, it's not. It just has a fancy name. A Cartesian diver, you may have read it before as a diver Dan or a scuba Sally or a scuba Steve, whichever name you see on the internet. It just is simply a bottle of water where you have a little vessel inside which bobs up and down depending on how you squeeze the bottle. Sounds a bit funny? Well, you'll get what I mean soon. And it's not that hard either. So all you need is a plastic drink bottle. Now, if you've got young students in front of you, get a small one. Don't give them a large 600ml bottle, so like a really big thing. Give them something small. Those tiny little water bottles that you can get at the local supermarkets lately, like Coles and Woolworths in our country anyway, you get these tiny little ones for about 200ml. They work a treat. If you can't get those, yeah, you can use the big one, but little kids' hands have trouble. The reason why, you have to fill that bottle completely to the top with water. Now imagine little kid, they fill the thing up to water and they tie a lid on really tight. Now asking them to squeeze such a large volume of water is pretty difficult because they haven't got that much strength. So give them a smaller bottle. So here you go. Step one, just like you heard, fill a smaller bottle with water all the way to the top. Now you've done that, pop that to one side and get yourself a pen lid. Like, you know those biro pen lids with a little part that allows you to hang your pen off your pocket or something? That little part's going to be crucial because the biro pen lid is hollow and that little stick poking down off your pen lid is a fantastic spot to put some Play-Doh or even better, some blue tack. Reason being is it keeps that little pen lid, well, upright, because it's going to be a floating device in the bottle of water you've got. So righto, so you've got your pen lid. You've got a bit of blue tack stuck onto the bottom of that pen lid. And if it's not blue tack, Play-Doh can work, though it does tend to fall off a bit. You've got something that will stick onto it anyway. Now what you want to do is you get that pen lid and you pop it into the bottle, which is filled with water. Now inevitably, a couple of things can happen. You either get it spot on straight away, which is pretty rare, or it'll sink all the way down to the bottom. And if that's the case, you can have to pour all the water out and take some of that, blue tack off your lid because it's frankly too heavy, or it won't be heavy enough and your pen lid will be floating way too high in the bottle. Now, how do you know you got it right? If you can get your pen lid with blue tack on the end of it, where it can sort of just float at the very top of your filled bottle of water, you've just about got it right. The reason being, there's a little air bubble trapped in your pen lid, and that blue tack's keeping that, pen lid upright so you don't lose your air bubble, and it's keeping it low in the water, quite low. In fact, it kind of reminds me of a plimsoll line when it comes to loading a freighter, like a big, freighters, those ones that hold containers and ship around the world. Your biro lid is effectively doing the same thing, holding all that blue tack. Anyway, so I ramble. You've got your blue tack on your pen lid. It's barely floating, but only just in your filled bottle of water. All you need to do is close the lid really tight, and now give it a squeeze. And as you squeeze your bottle, water will enter your pen lid and therefore make the pen lid a bit heavier, and it will drop down, it will lose buoyancy. But hang on, it's still got an air bubble inside. As soon as you stop squishing on the bottle from the outside, the air bubble inside the pen lid will expand and it'll push the water out. And when it does so, the pen lid becomes lighter. And when it becomes lighter, it's more buoyant, and up it goes again. And if you squeeze the bottle, down goes the pen lid again. And so you can make it go up and down, up and down, up and down. Kids love this as a simple demonstration on pressure, and moving pressure through a liquid is quite handy. Also, you can make a bit of a game of it. If you hook like a paperclip on that blue tack, you can have it go fishing for things at the bottom of your soft drink container, of your soda bottle. There you go. So very simple experiment. If you're wondering about a visuals, let's be honest, an audio medium describing an experiment is a little bit difficult. Jump on the physics education website. So as usual, type physics really badly into Google, fizzicseducation.com.au. Type in diver, and I guarantee you'll find the page called Make a Cartesian Diver. It'll go through some bits, and look, if you want to get a little bit fancy, you can use clear pipettes. Some people call them pipettes. I'm not too sure which way you meant to say it. But if you use pipettes, you can chop off the long stick of your plastic pipette, and you can fit a couple of very small nuts onto them, and that will actually hold that pipette upright as well in your water bottle. And this way, when you squeeze your bottle, you can see the water level rise inside the pipette, and that will pretty much show the kids what's going on. I've also heard of people doing it with tomato sauce packets too, ketchup packets. Works a treat. So there you go, simple experiment. Let's go have a bit of fun.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS.
During our chat with Craig, we got to hear about the work they've been doing with citizen science and tertiary students. Well, back in episode 5 of the Phys Ed podcast, we got to speak with Jackie Randalls, who is a New South Wales manager for Inspiring Australia, and she very much loves and promotes citizen science.
You can find a citizen science project that meets your interest. So Red Map, for instance, is one all about fishing. So if you happen to love fishing, or if you do anything on the water, that's probably going to be the one for you. And that one is simply, if you see an unusual species that you don't normally see, you might see an unusual fish, or you might see a whale that's moving up towards Queensland too early, take a picture of it, upload it to the Red Map platform, and marine scientists from around Australia will analyse it, and you're helping identify movements of species.
Yes, that episode was so popular, and it's all about citizen science initiatives. It really are. It's not just about Red Map. It's all sorts of things. It's about entrepreneurial thinking. It's about creating citizen science wherever you are, and it's well worth your listen. So go back in the records, go find episode 5, check it out, and I'd love to hear what you think.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
So that just about brings us to the end of yet another Phys Ed podcast. I hope you've been enjoying this, and I'm really looking forward to this series this year because we've got so many more people coming up with lots to share about how they've been teaching science to all sorts of people. And one of those people is Jenny Murphy. Next week, we're speaking with Jenny about Latitude Group Travel, which has been doing STEM tours, not just in Australia, but globally. It's a lot of fun. I tell you what, I'd love to be on one of those too. But until then, I hope you've been making your science classes awesome. I hope you've been preparing your science classes to be awesome. And I hope they've been having a lot of fun in the process. So until then, I'd love to catch you next week, but have a top week. I will catch you another time.